It is Saturday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
GeekSpeak is a production of KUSP, Central Coast Public Radio, kusp.org. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
Welcome to GeekSpeak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host today, Sean Cleveland. Please keep in mind that the views expressed during GeekSpeak are not necessarily those of KUSP.
GeekSpeak on KUSP,
there we go, is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry using digital technology for less radiation and offering one-appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, call 423-2447.
Again, this is GeekSpeak. My name is Sean Cleveland. In the air room with me are geeks Miles Elam, a Slacker geek, student, and future teacher, Drew Meyer, product manager of Network Appliance, and Josh Weiss, training and production coordinator for KUSP. On the phone, we have geeks Alex Sleas, application security analyst for Fidelity National Financial, and Dee Dee Hubbard, a developer at Workstate Consulting, a Slacker, and also a future teacher.
Yay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Sean.
The slackers are multiplying.
It's like 50% slack now.
So you may be wondering where Lyle is today. Lyle's not only a geek's geek, as I like to refer to him, but he is also the glue that keeps GeekSpeak together. Lyle's taking the day off today to attend his son's first baseball game. Wyatt is 5 years old and is very excited about today's prospects and the fact that he has his dad there to watch the game with him. This weekend, we are also celebrating Lyle's birthday, and as such, I want to wish him a very happy birthday today.
Happy birthday, Lyle.
Happy birthday, Lyle.
We won't sing.
Well, actually, his birthday is Monday, but we're celebrating it this weekend.
What a day.
That we are.
Lastly, I would like everyone to remember Peter Troxel, Lyle's father. Peter was the station manager here at KUSP for 9 years, and was highly regarded in the Santa Cruz community. Today is the third anniversary of his death, and Peter, you'll never be forgotten, and we miss you very much.
And it's also, what holiday?
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There are no Irishmen at GeekSpeak, are there? That we know of?
Not me.
I have a smidgen of Irish in me.
You have a shirt on, Sean.
That's right. Dee Dee, are you Irish?
I have my Guinness shirt on, too.
Yeah, somewhere in my family history, you know, some Irishman got lucky, but other than that, I don't know.
And therefore, so did the rest of us. Thanks, Miles.
So we've got so many geeks here today. We just want to talk about tech. And today we are also doing the KUSP Pledge Drive. And we'd really love for you, our listeners, to call in and help support not only GeekSpeak, but KUSP and all the shows that are done here. Well, we put a lot of time and effort into this, and we don't make any money off this. And then we give money to KUSP. So we really love for you to help us out.
Yeah, and everything we hear on KUSP, including GeekSpeak, Dr. Don, Castle Cottage, is made possible with your financial support. And one of the things that separates us from the rest of the pack is the fact that we're giving you some context. For example, a lot of times you'll just hear the news. They'll give you a bunch of dates or a quick little bunch of pretty pictures for the TV news. But when you listen to NPR, you don't just hear what's going on, but also the back history, why you should care about it. With Dr. Don, you don't just hear about a list of medical jargon. You hear why it's important, why you or how you can make yourself feel healthier. GeekSpeak, we've tried to do the same thing. We've tried to bring in some knowledge into the world about how your computer works so you're not quite as scared by it, so that it becomes a bit more humanized. And Castle Cottage, just firing the imaginations of the kids, bringing in the context of the world into young minds. That's one of the things that keeps us going and why we do our show.
Exactly. And this morning we have a matching pledge from the Center Stage Software, who is matching a total of up to $480. This is a matching grant, and you can give us a call at 888-777-1507. Again, that number is 1-888-777-1507, and pledge your support to KUSP. You can also go to our website. That's KUSP.org. It is a secure website. It's easy. It takes about 3 minutes. You can use your credit card, or we can bill you. Tell us what you value most about KUSP. This is really a great resource here.
So let's talk a little about what we want to... Well, what are we going to talk about today? So we've got a ton of things happen this week. Drew, can you tell us just what listeners can expect to hear today?
A couple of interesting things, stories we're going to cover. First of all, there's been a patent filed for GPS. Now, everybody knows GPS already exists, but the cool thing about this is it's underwater.
What is GPS?
Global Positioning System.
Okay, the mapping.
Yeah, so you can now navigate underwater, according to the new patent.
Wait, really?
Well, we'll hear about it more later.
Miles?
I get lost underwater all the time.
Also in the news are things like NPR firing a shot over the RIAA bow. It's one thing I really want to talk about with regard to internet radio. It's something that's an emerging technology, something that dear and true to GeekSpeak. Once again, bringing that context to folks in their homes or in their cars.
I'm curious to hear more about this.
Yep.
So we've got a bunch of news, and we got a lot of geeks here today. And before we get started, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we're really hoping that you call in and help out GeekSpeak and KUSP. Keep us on the air. Keep our podcast on the internet airwaves or land waves. I don't know. So should we get started?
Yeah, let's do a news story.
So, Drew, tell us a little bit about GPS underwater. Why is it such a difficult issue up to this point?
So, ordinarily, GPS works by having a handheld transceiver that talks to satellites, and it's basically line of sight. If you're in vision of the satellite, then you can know where you are, triangulating between several satellites. Now, when you go underwater, if you're a submarine, for example, the water blocks the signal. There's no way to actually track where you are. So, I suppose for military applications, this is more important, DD. Last time you were underwater, you weren't too worried about being lost. But submarines, submersible objects and devices are now sending out sonar pulses to which a base station on the seafloor at a known location replies. So they're locating themselves relative to the base station, which is located relative to the satellite, so they can figure out exactly where they are. Easily measured, plus the round trip at pulse time, and then the bearing angle from the sender can calculate its position. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I will know exactly where we are anywhere on the planet all the time.
And so will the aliens at the bottom of the ocean.
Every whale in the whole ocean, right? And then I got some other stories too, but maybe we should let Miles take a shot.
Yeah, Miles, let's talk about your RIAA story. Yeah. RIAA.
RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, published their royalty charges for folks broadcasting over internet radio. Internet radio basically just being you publish a podcast and say, hey, anyone can listen to my MP3 stream. And one thing that separates internet radio from standard radio is with standard radio, you need a whole lot of infrastructure. There's what's known as spectrum scarcity, where there's only so many stations that can be in a certain area. Internet, that doesn't exist. You can have as many as you like. Now, where this became big was that on the heels of the single largest judgment against the largest radio conglomerates, Viacom and Clear Channel, for what's known as payola, paying radio stations to play their music. Instead of even going for free or paying internet radio programmers, what they're doing is they're charging per song and then per listener. Now, it doesn't seem that much to hear 8 hundredths of a cent, starting in 2006, going up to 19 hundredths of a cent in 2010.
Whoa.
Per song.
Yeah.
But you're thinking, like, per song, oh, that doesn't seem like much. That's just some change. But what happens if you suddenly become popular and 10,000 people start listening to your stream in a month? Suddenly it'll add up. Suddenly you get people. It's basically a license for the RIAA to reach into your pocket and take as much money as they want out, especially because counting how many people are listening to your song can be very difficult, getting those logs. And if a large company decided, hey, I think you had 100,000 listeners, but I don't know, I don't have my logs. Well, you don't have your logs. You can't prove that you haven't done that.
It has incredible.
This, Yeah, so it's really a bad precedent. It's really trying to limit the number of participants in the field rather than actually looking at it as a legitimate revenue source. Because if they're looking as a legitimate revenue source,
I think they're looking for any revenue.
They would
sources.
Be charging radio stations for that music.
Yeah,
and a lot of the thing has to do with technology. Because it's technology, they figure they can get it past most people, which actually is true a lot of times. But at the same time, that's something we do need to watch out for, because this is a very democratizing force, internet radio, and it's just something that we should be watching out for, and I think people should support NPR in that they have filed a lawsuit against the RIAA for this specific thing.
Please support.
And we're going to put up some links on the website, so after the show, you can read more about the issue, and hey, contact your local Congress critter.
Nice.
Oh.
Please.
And speaking of the RIAA and their greediness, we had a Carrie Sherman of the RIAA speaking on Capitol Hill this week to testify in front of a House Judiciary Subcommittee on Courts, the Internet, and Intellectual Property. She told Congress that music has never been more popular and that college kids are downloading it illegally like never before. They're going after college kids with renewed vigor, and indeed the organization has sent letters to hundreds of students at 13 universities. So they're trying to get college kids to stop downloading music.
Yeah, so they're downloading music. This is causing a major revenue loss for the RIAA?
Except it doesn't really seem like it is. You know, RIAA, they're trying to make money in every way possible.
Yeah, it looks like from their revenue streams that they're making more money than ever. Exactly. Just like the Motion Picture Association of America is making more money than ever. And yet somehow they're saying they're having huge losses because of piracy.
Right. And they're trying to keep technology from growing instead of embracing it.
You guys are making me so sad.
Wow.
Breaking my heart.
Yeah. Have to keep going.
Yeah, when you break a geek's heart, it's just sad.
it's all nuts and bolts. All right.
So as we're talking about items, we want you to call in and please help out KUSP in its moment of need. We are asking for your pledges so that we can keep on the air and hopefully get some new equipment. Hopefully move towards digital audio so we sound even better.
Someday. It's coming very soon. It's very close.
Oh, that's cool. That's,
Miles? That
should be a news story we should do.
Right. Well, this is absolutely true. That and when we're bringing up these issues, yes, it's a pledge drive show. I'm sure most folks weren't listening in expecting to hear that pledge drive. And yet at the same time, these are the types of issues that make KUSP and public radio so valuable, is the fact that there are issues that will affect you, even if they seem overly technical or something really off the wall or just very detached from you. This actually will affect you.
This RIA does affect people. It seems like something abstract now, but believe me, when it's law and it affects the way you access content, you'll be concerned. It'll be too late.
Right, and you're certainly not going to hear about these issues from Clear Channel or Viacom. This is where public radio is your outlet. This is where the value comes in. This is where you find out the information that's going to affect your lives down the road.
And the beautiful thing about public radio is that you can help us out and you can decide how much money to give. We're really looking for donations in any amount this morning, but if you can contribute $120, that's just $10 a month. And as a thank you gift, we can give you our beautiful KUSP t-shirt available for men and women for showing your support to public media here on the Central Coast of California. You can give us a call. The phone numbers are 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. We also have a lovely website. That's KUSP.org, safe, secure, and easy. In just about 3 minutes, you can give us a pledge. And you can really show your support for great programs like Geek Speak, like Castle Cottage, like Ask Dr. Don, that you're not going to hear anywhere else except right here on the Monterey Bay here on KUSP.
Right. Let's move on. News. And I want to hear from, Dee Dee. Dee Dee, you're in which state now?
Ohio, actually. And I have some news that touches on the RIAA that we just spoke about. Not too long ago, they announced the top piracy schools in the United States. So you know how people list party schools or the top schools for getting a degree in education or whatnot? They released a list of the schools where they sent the most notices of copyright infringement. And my home state comes up on top. Ohio University. not to be confused with The Ohio State University, as my girlfriend Alina, who is now going there, gave me a dirty look saying that. following up is Purdue University,
Indiana.
University of Nebraska at Lincoln. And it seems to be the Midwest comes in a whole lot here.
A lot of light fingers out there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
So as a student at a university, I'm curious, do you buy things from the Apple Music Store, or do the people that you are hanging out with at these schools buying stuff from the Apple Music Store? How much is just straight downloading?
Well, I feel like I'm a special case. I've been very wary of the RIAA for about 10 years or so now, and so I've kind of opted out of buying CDs altogether, at least through retail markets, and so when I find out about music, I find out through friends, and I go to the shows. And then I support the artist more directly by buying CDs at the shows.
Interesting.
That's great, like avoiding funding the opposition, I guess, as it were.
I like buying CDs. There's something about owning physical, you know, music with the booklet inside and the lyrics and the photos. I don't know. There's just something about it to me that I like. I like the whole package.
Judging by your bookshelves, that tactile experience is important to you.
Yeah, but this is also coming from a person that has a huge huge digital music jukebox.
Yeah, I do. And I rip most of my CDs. I think
so really, if you had the liner notes and then just the electronic file, you'd be happy.
Well, I take those to work with me so I can listen to them while I'm working. And I also like the fact that I've got specifics when I rip my music digitally. I like it a certain way, and it just works for me. But I like owning the CD.
I haven't bought a CD in probably 5 years.
Wow.
But I buy vinyl.
Oh, that's cool.
Because vinyl can't be manufactured, and vinyl can't be burnt off of a computer. You know, it sort of has more inherent value because I can't create it myself.
Yeah, vinyl's,
well,
it's
yeah, you
really
can. You can always just do the analog to digital recording.
But, I mean, I can't actually make it. The physical piece of vinyl, I cannot manufacture that. But CDs I can make myself.
Well, sure you can. It just requires some
financial
outlay.
Yeah, vinyl's making a comeback, for sure. So, Dee, did they talk about numbers at all?
It lists some of the numbers for, let's see, at the top was Ohio University with almost 1,300 notices, and down at the bottom, Marshall University with 331. So
wait, 1,300 people have been notified by the RIAA that they will be sued if they don't settle.
Yeah, well, I think these are the more benign, like, cease and desist kind of notices.
Okay.
Because Purdue, in particular, was ignoring them.
Interesting. Is Purdue responsible, or is it the actual students at Purdue? How's the IT staff at Purdue getting away from this? Any idea? Or Ohio State, for that matter?
The students are infringing, and Purdue isn't really passing on the message because they're just trying to give the RIAA a cold shoulder. Mm. And that could open them up for a lawsuit, so it's probably not the wisest thing for them to do, but if they're doing it for philosophical reasons or protecting students' rights reasons or whatever, then I can get behind that. But if they're just doing it out of stupidity, then someone needs to warn them.
Yeah, well, colleges tend to be in between a rock and a hard place. They tend to they have to make information available to their students. Like, for example, many movies are pre-censored by, say, Blockbuster. Y Tu Mamá También comes to mind, where they didn't want to have certain scenes in there because they were considered too racy. And yet, to be a film student, you want to see these scenes. You want to see what the original intent of the director was. And this goes along with the general computer usage. They don't ever want to block ports at universities because people are trying out new technologies, trying out new things. So to restrict it in the way that the RIAA has wanted to is many times contrary to their reason for being.
And these universities act as ISPs, Internet Service Providers, to all the students. And they're providing this, their identities to some respect. I would expect Comcast and SBC Global to do the same thing if they were served with something. You know, you got to keep that list of users confidential. But, you know.
But they're putting the names out there.
It's really tough when you got such a big organization like the RIAA and their lawyers.
Okay, so, enough of this.
Yeah, let's move on. let's talk with Alex down in L.A.
Yeah, actually, since you mentioned our ISPs, I thought we might kind of segue into the little story about the ISPs that might be selling our web clicks. Apparently, the ISPs have been collecting up information about what websites people have been clicking on and selling that information to other companies for either marketing or whatever other reasons they might be wanting to use it for.
Well, this turning into GeekSpeak, welcome to the paranoia hour.
You know, I used to think I was paranoid about this. Apparently, it was turned out it was true. So.
It's not paranoia if they're out to get you?
That's right. So, but yeah, apparently, I mean, this scares me. I mean, people think, well, who cares, if, you know, if I'm browsing Yahoo, and it's not like they're actually, you know, monitoring the traffic itself, the data that goes across, but they, you know, can very easily track where you're going, like what sites you're clicking on, and store that. And if you go to a site that, you know, is about some particular medical problem, you know, right there is some medical information about you that's being stored and passed on and sold. It just doesn't seem right to me at all.
Yeah, no kidding. So you work in security. You keep up on a lot of these issues. And I noticed that when you told us about this, you said, I knew it. What have you been seeing with regards to this? I mean, this is nothing new, right?
Well, the stuff I wouldn't say I've been seeing it in terms of in the past. I've just always suspected that that would be coming along. The information is out there. It's not protected. There's no real laws that say that we should, you know, that this stuff cannot be stored and kept and sold. And pretty much in the U.S., you know, we don't own our own information. The companies own our information, so.
Right. You're just being very pragmatic. Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, and some legislators, I mean, they have been trying to push for laws to tighten down on this type of information.
Yeah. So how can we protect ourselves?
Right now, support, you know, look at the legislation that's out there. Offhand, I don't have what's being proposed in front of me, but, you know, keep an eye out for legislation that's going and support it. You know, let your congressman and or congresswoman know, I want this to go through and protect me.
I was actually thinking be fairly proactive about your views towards your Congress critters, just because a lot of times you don't hear about the law until after it's already passed. So I'd actually recommend to folks, say, give your thoughts beforehand as to what your leanings are or what your proclivities may be.
You know, I saw a story about Google. They, in their official blog, they stated they're going to anonymize search criteria and data for 18 to 24 months. What do you think about that? It's kind of interesting. I wonder if there'll be more services that offer this for people who are concerned about this sort of thing.
I don't know. I mean, the idea of kind of, I mean, you're talking about having search engines kind of basically selling or keeping track of the of search hits and selling that?
No, just offering a service that anonymizes your search data. So those can't be captured.
Well, that's like the Tor network.
That's right, the Tor, the Onion.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
It's a modified version of Mozilla, I believe, or Firefox.
Or Tor Park.
Yeah, Tor Park that connects up to the Tor network. What that does is connects to one server for web access, which connects to another machine as a proxy, which connects to another machine, which then makes it out of kind of, the best way to describe it is the Tor cloud. And so the person who's serving that web content doesn't know who's transmitting it, and the person who transmitted it doesn't actually connect to the actual server that they're getting information from. It anonymizes that content so that you can't see where people went.
So the question with that, though, is any link in the chain, or possibly, you know, the people who are getting the initial connection tracking that? Although I guess they wouldn't know if they're the initial connection or not.
Right. The idea is that you have multiple hops through that Tor network before it gets to the end result. Which means it'll slow down a little bit, but it depends on how much you care about people watching you.
It gives you deniability, right?
So I want to take a break just to get people to call in and help us with our pledge break. And I want to talk about KUSP, not just GeekSpeak. People who listen to KUSP and National Public Radio know that we offer in-depth, timely, accurate, independent, balanced news. And those aren't just words that I'm throwing out there. They all apply to National Public Radio and to KUSP. I want to mention that the shows here, these aren't maybe shows that you would find on National Public Radio abroad, but here at KUSP, Ask Dr. Don, GeekSpeak, there's a lot of great shows, Talk of the Bay, in addition to Morning Edition and All Things Considered. there's a lot of great content here, and we want to keep bringing you this content, these perspectives on news, information at home and abroad. Please, if you enjoy KUSP and all of our features, both on the air and online, please make a pledge now. Call us now.
And we do want to thank Hans in Monterey, who knows how easy it is to call in and pledge to KUSP. Hans actually pledged on the web at KUSP.org, but it's just as easy to give us a call at 1-888-777-1507. Again, that phone number is 1-888-777-1507. We have a matching grant from Center Stage Software for $480. Every dollar we make, up to $480 right now, will be matched. That's double the value for your pledge to GeekSpeak, for your pledge to KUSP, for your pledge to keep public media strong.
Oh, that's great.
Center Stage Software. On the Central Coast of California, $480, dollar for dollar match. 888-777-1507 or KUSP.org.
I love that a tech company is doing this. That makes me feel really good during GeekSpeak.
Indeed, it's a great thing.
And we're here to talk about tech, of course. GeekSpeak is always here every week to talk about tech. But more and more each day, our lives are affected by the events and people who live outside the U.S. borders. The war in Iraq, elections in the Middle East, countries affected by the tsunami. And now more than ever, KUSP fills your need to stay connected to the world. We're doing a little bit here every Saturday morning with tech news. But we want you to also consider that we bring you reporters stationed all over the world, often in dangerous places, talking about things as they happen. And please, your membership helps pay for these reporters. It helps pay for these shows. It helps pay for the music that we have here. Oh, KUSP has got such a breadth of music. And I love that at any hour of the day, it's always new and different. And as it gets into the night, it gets more weird and awesome. I love that personally. So please call in right now. This is very important to us, and I hope it's important to you. And go to the website, kusp.org. You can pledge online. It's secure, backed by the geeks.
Indeed. And, you know, the great thing about public media here, I think I mentioned this before, too, is that, you know, it's really like you decide how much to contribute. I mean, you do what you can do to support KUSP, to support this radio station and this service that we provide. Our most popular gift level is $120. That's just $10 a month. And as a thank you, we can send you our great KUSP shirt plus our 2-for-1 member card, good for dining, accommodations, attractions, all kinds of great things here on the Central Coast, plus an on-the-air CD, which we produce. There's really all kinds of great stuff we have here. But beyond the gifts, it really is because it makes you feel good. When you pledge your support to KUSP, you feel just a little better for helping out this great service here on the Central Coast of California. Give us a call right now. Don't put it off. 1-888-777-1507. Or you can go online. That website is kusp.org. Safe, secure, and easy.
Actually, we have a caller. He called in, but he wants this question answered off air. And I want to address it really quick because people are taking the time to call in and pledge. And when they have a question, oftentimes we tell them to send us an email during the week and we'll answer it. And we try to. We really do. This is from Jim in Big Sur. As a photographer, he has lots of digital image files. They're large files. And he wants to know, is it smarter to back up and store on his own hard drive or to rent that storage from an online service? Not a bad idea to do an online service.
How about doing both?
It depends on your budget. I mean, there's so many choices. It depends how worried you are.
Drew?
Well, you know, in the storage industry, we love to sell gear to people, but that may not be the best solution. If you're really in the business of protecting the data, then let a professional do it. Send it offline. Use a service like, well, here's a couple DD just threw out, Strong Space, Bingo Disc, Joyent. There's a really slick one that a buddy of mine here in Santa Cruz, who's a PC consultant, uses with a lot of his customers called Log Me In. Can read their URL is secure.logmein.com, and they have some other clever pieces of software as well. And I think that one's free, and you pay, there's unlimited capacity, and you pay a small amount for unlimited capacity. So there's all kinds of choices out there.
Well, and we also have, you know, all kinds of ISPs are giving out so much storage these days. My ISP, Bluehost, I have 50 gigs online. So I mean, if you're just backing
really
up your documents and your photos for $8 a month, you've got 50 gigs online. So you do a local backup and
right,
you sync that up to the web. You've got a pretty good security.
If you have a Google account, you've got 10 gigs of space.
So but remember,
three gigs. But
still. Remember, this is what Jim's talking about is professional photography stuff. So there's probably some very large individual files, and it'll take a long time, and you need some smart software to make sure you synchronize those every time.
But then again, there's always the possibility of just getting a DVD burner, getting some DVD-R discs, which are really cheap, and saving them that way. Then you just have like an album, like a standard CD album, and you put all your archives in there with these, you know, 5 gig discs or 4.7 gig discs.
That's kind of the flip side of the case here. If you want to maintain control, if the data is incredibly vital and you want to know exactly where it is all the time, never send it to someone who's out on the internet. Control it yourself. But then you got to be disciplined about it. So good luck with that one, Jim.
Good luck. GeekSpeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, Notary Public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. You're listening to GeekSpeak. I'm your host today, Sean Cleveland. In the air room with me are Miles Elam, Drew Meyer, and Josh Weiss. And on the air, we have Alex Sleas and Dee Dee Hubbard.
One more thing for Jim. Let me back up to this. If you put your stuff on a single hard drive, you run the failure that that disk gets dropped or fails or you lose all your data. So you might want to consider an entry-level storage server like we've had Infrant on a couple times. Sam Fang has got a really slick little device.
Yeah. A lot of us have Infrant boxes here.
And we like them. I mean, they work. They're a bomber.
Right. So let's talk about some news. Who's got a story?
I'm going to take this story here. This is pretty interesting. The governor of Utah wants internet porn to be on its own port. So the internet mostly runs on port 80. Your browser knows how to get to the internet and back. The governor of Utah wants an adult content channel and a family content channel. The proposal involves the Internet Community Ports Act, which was created by anti-porn group CP80, and seeks to ensure that port 80, which carries most of internet traffic, has no porn on it. So it's very easy for parents and families, you know, to block access to this content. But it's a completely ridiculous idea.
I swear, it feels like having someone who just finished Algebra 1 say, okay, I'm qualified to do your taxes.
Wait a minute.
Every
guys,
time I hear something like this, it's painful.
Wait a minute. It sounds reasonable. What's so bad about it?
Well, first of all, the internet is not the U.S. only. The internet, how do you make other countries follow this rule?
Okay.
In addition to that, what about all those companies that have already registered their domain names and they already have that traffic going to port 80? How do you get all of them to move over to a different port? And then you have to get people to understand, okay, put it into a URL and put a different port number in there. There's so many technical, logistical, and political obstacles to this that it boggles the mind.
But beyond that, you know, it's an issue of definition. How are we going to assign websites to port 81, to port 80? Where are they going to go? I mean, you know, who's going to make these decisions? And how much content is going to get lost that is badly defined?
Really, what I think the answer to this is instead of having this basically a denialist saying you're not supposed to have porn or these undesirable things on port 80, make a thing that says only the good stuff will go on this alternate port. To have things like a domain, for example, people talk about bringing in the kids. Well, if you're really concerned about the kids, then make sure all the traffic goes to kids.us. It's an actual domain that's out there, and there are certain regulations for things that go into that domain.
Oh, wow. That's a good piece of information.
So you're saying that
it's a lot like the proposal that ICANN, which is supposedly the international body overseeing assigning URLs and domains to people on the internet, when they tried to add they proposed adding a .xxx domain, so just like .com or .net, they wanted to add .xxx, and that failed miserably.
Too bad, because you couldn't accidentally go somewhere then.
Well, at the same time, what do you do about all the domains? Yeah. Once again, it's what do you do about all the domains that already exist? And then you have the question of what happens if you have someone that's sex.com versus sex.org? You know, who gets the .xxx domain?
That's true.
And do you compensate that for them? And do you pay for the transfer?
Yeah, it's a lot to be considered here.
Yeah, so, I mean, here we are. Whoa, my goodness. Here we are in GeekSpeak doing our part to give people the most reliable news and entertainment source. This is fun. Thanks, you guys. And now is your turn as a listener to do your part for bringing the news and entertainment that you rely on and that you enjoy, and keep it going for the days as it goes by. Right now, we're going through our pledge drive once again in our season, and we invite you all to call in and,
use the web. This is Geek Speak.
Indeed. Right.
And donate funds to keep us doing what we're doing, to keep us where we are at this point today, so that we can continue giving the news that matters.
And when you call into KUSP with your support, we don't share your personal information. We keep your personal information in strict confidence. Your contribution goes to support the programs that you love. That might be Geek Speak. That might be Castle Cottage, our kids program, coming up next. It might be the music shows during the week that you didn't have time to call in and pledge while those were going on. But we do honor your privacy, and we do respect whatever it is that you value about KUSP. You can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-888-777-1507. Again, that's 1-888-777-1507. Or you can always pledge online. That safe, secure, and easy website is kusp.org. Wherever it is, we have a friendly bank of volunteers waiting to take your pledge.
And it comes down to community. I mean, really, it does come down to community. When you're listening to other stations, some commercial stations, you really do feel like a number. They're just going out to the widest variety, the lowest common denominator.
Right.
And that's what sets KUSP and other public radio stations apart, is that we're part of the community. We all live in the area. We all live in the Central Coast of California, and we're making programming that's tailored to the Central Coast of California.
Exactly. And this hour, we have a matching grant, dollar for dollar, $480. You give us a call, your value is doubled. Your pledge to community media here in the Central Coast of California is doubled from Center Stage Software, dollar for dollar, $480 match. We really cannot do it without you. Give us a pledge at our secure website. It'll take you about 3 minutes. And while you're there, you can tell us what it is that you value about KUSP. It's a great thing. With this pledge, you sort of establish a relationship with us. You can tell us, I love Geek Speak, I hate Geek Speak, or whatever it is, you know, that you want to say to us. When you call, you get $80 pledge. You get our on-the-air CD, which we recorded here in these very studios where we sit, plus our two-for-one dining card. But really, the great thing about it, you're doing it because you love radio. Give us a call, 1-888-777-1507 or kusp.org.
GeekSpeak is supported by Cruise.io Internet, offering DSL, broadband, computer rentals, and tune-ups. Cruise.io has retail spaces in downtown Santa Cruz and Watsonville. I should say stores in Watsonville and Santa Cruz. More information can be found online at cruiseio.com or by calling 459-6301. You know, Didi reminds me that there's really an interesting thing that happened this week that we should talk about.
This month, really.
Didi?
So Apple released OS 10.4.9, the latest minor update to Tiger, and it was pack-filled with about 45 patches to plug some security holes in their own software and some third-party software. And Alex mentioned that, could it be possible that Windows didn't have any security updates this month?
I'd like to actually clarify. They didn't have any security updates. I don't buy that there weren't any vulnerabilities still left to fix.
Yeah, they usually pick a day of the month to do their updates, right?
Yes. Microsoft picks the second Tuesday of every month. I know it well because it's the day that my entire team has to go and review all of the alerts and assess their, you know, how critical they are to our organization.
Yeah, doesn't it have a name now officially?
Some people call it Patch Tuesday. More commonly that I hear and that we like to call it is Black Tuesday.
What do they call the day after? I heard there was one for that too.
The day after is commonly referred to as, I think it's Exploit Wednesday, in which all the hackers decide to release a bunch of exploits.
To take advantage of the holes that weren't filled.
Yeah, well, or even the holes that are, you know, the holes that were fixed, but that companies haven't had a chance to actually patch yet.
Wow. I hear that's big business. Somebody who finds an exploit sells it for a lot of money.
Yep.
Right, and they also have that. If Microsoft just released the patches on Tuesday, if they release on Wednesday, then they have another whole month to compromise systems before
right.
there's another patch.
So what did you do on Tuesday?
The rest of my job. The stuff that keeps me pretty busy all the time. So
how surprising is this?
It's odd. I mean, I've you know, been working specifically focusing on security for over 2 years now, and I have not seen that happen in a given month. There's always at least, you know, two or three vulnerabilities that Microsoft has had to patch. And it was really bizarre to have them come and say, we have nothing this month. And
right.
we all looked at each other and go, yeah, wait till next month. I'm sure there's a few they just aren't disclosing yet that they need more time to fix.
Now, I know they're focusing on Vista, and Vista is supposed to be inherently better, more secure than Windows XP. And then I've heard that there's a Service Pack 3 coming out for Windows XP. I don't know when, though. Do you have any information about that?
I'm not sure yet. I've heard about it. I haven't looked into when it's supposed to be coming out.
Right. Yeah, I know Service Pack 2 for Windows 2003 was released. And wasn't it XP 64-bit? There was another Service Pack? Or am I thinking of...
I think it's just the server, 2003 server, that was released. And Vista is, well, I don't know how it's doing. I didn't hear a whole lot. But, you know, I have to say I've been using it more in the past week, and I'm getting more familiar with it. It's kind of growing on me. The boot manager drove me crazy because I like to dual boot Windows XP and Vista, and it's just a horrible interface. And if you do a search on Google for some free Vista boot tools, they're out there, and it... You know, it really made my life a lot easier.
Yeah, one of those boot tools I hear is called Linux.
Nice, Miles. Alternatively known as Grub.
How much is Linux?
Oh, yeah. It is free.
Attaboy. In fact, if you download and install Ubuntu, it will install a boot manager for you automatically to manage both Windows and Linux. Just in case you were wondering.
And where do you go to find that? True?
Ubuntu.com will actually do that for
you. How do you spell that?
UBUNTU. That's Unicorn November. No, wait a minute. Unicorn Bravo.
It's all U's November. Except for the N, the T, and the B.
Ubuntu. Oh, geez, sorry.
Ubuntu. So, I don't know if any of you... I've tried Ubuntu. I didn't want to install it on my machine, so I just made a disk. And after Miles showed me...
Which you can download it as a disk.
Which you can do. You just put the disk in my computer and booted Linux onto it, and I had a working desktop. I was very impressed.
Yeah, without affecting any of the data on your hard drive.
Right.
Just boot off the CD.
They call it the live CD because it runs live off the CD.
It's really great for fixing those Windows problems when it won't boot.
No, installing Linux over your Windows partition fixes the Windows problems.
No, Didi, let's hear more about that. Is that really a viable option?
A viable option?
Yeah, if you can't get into Windows, would it be smart to make a bootable Ubuntu CD?
A lot of people either have like a CD that they can use for that has an operating system that will run off of it, be able to read Windows files and whatnot, and help you like repair permissions problems, slight text problems, or like if your master boot record gets screwed up, which is what causes a lot of blue screens and people who dual boot between Linux and Windows.
Yeah. That is a great piece of advice.
There are so many amazing tools built on Linux out there. A buddy of mine here in Scotts Valley built a tool. It installs on a flash thumb drive, and it has. If you put it in the USB port and boot the machine, then it automatically boots to this flash drive and formats the hard drive using triple dead security from the U.S. federal government. So don't boot with it in there unless you're really serious. And then, man, you've got a secure PC.
Speaking of operating systems, speaking of Windows, I just wanted to bring up this little anecdote. We were setting up for Lyle's birthday party this evening with a bunch of network computers to play games, and my computer was having some problems. Sean was kind enough to give me some new hardware to replace it, and it's running wonderfully now. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
However, one thing that came up was Windows said, oh, your hardware's changed. Oh, you need to re-register your copy of Windows. Now, the reason this really angers me is because I've actually paid for my copy of Windows. But if I were to have pirated my copy of Windows, there would not have been a problem. It would not have prompted me. It would not have been an issue. But because I did the, quote, responsible thing and bought my copy of Windows XP Home, now whenever I change my hardware to try to upgrade, because, of course, I am a geek and like to upgrade my system, I'm going to be running into this. And I'm told that if I do this one more time, I'm no longer going to be able to have it be a painless process. I'm going to actually have to call Microsoft to get it renewed. Yeah, I love Linux.
And that, you know, you'll continue to have to do that too. If you do have problems with hardware and you're continually swapping out hardware, there's some algorithm that Windows XP uses to determine that so much hardware has changed. This is now a new computer. Oh, you have to recall us and get this thing verified.
Yeah. And
again,
how sad is this that I'm getting laughed at? I'm getting mocked by my friends because I actually paid for Windows.
Hey, all of my copies of Windows are legit. They're free student licenses. It's because I'm not a student anymore.
Well, we're proud of you, DD.
Actually, no, now I get it through MSDN.
Because you're a developer.
So what's our next story?
So I want to hear another story. Geeks?
Another news story?
Yes.
What about Mars? I'm pretty impressed with this. Can I do that one?
You know, I heard about this. I would love to talk about this.
So, you know, there are two landers out on Mars today still, Spirit and Opportunity. And I wish John were here because he knows this better than I do. Scientists parked Spirit on the edge of a crater for a seven-month period over the long winter because the Martian sun was low, there was some dust covering the solar panels, and it just didn't have the opportunity to charge up. Well, they fired
it
up again.
The opportunity, no pun intended?
The opportunity to charge up. Yeah, dust that old chestnut off. So the dust was holding the energy back, blocking the sunlight on the solar panel. So they fired it up again, and of course, it continues to run. And now it's driving all around, taking samples, exploring the Columbia Hills. And in the meantime, its twin, Opportunity, which had a stuck wheel recently, it was driving along. It has six wheels, three on each side, and the right front one stopped rolling, so it was just dragging along. And they managed to, eventually it got stuck, and they managed to drive it out of the stuck spot, and it took some really cool pictures. And while it was being driven out of the stuck spot, it scraped up some new dirt, and they sampled the dirt and turned into a really good, shall we say, Opportunity.
And Martian Energizer bunnies.
So it's just phenomenal. They just keep going and going. They're really happy to the scientists are happy to have them there. They took some of the best panoramic shots, which you can see if you go to astronomy.com. Best panoramic shots ever done on Mars. They found evidence of clouds that form with water in them. So there are variable cloud formations that happen on Mars that you can see from the surface.
I like how they really always black out the portions where the alien civilizations are.
It's funny how they can do that.
I just find it phenomenal that, you know, these rovers were basically built for 3 months, and they've been going for over 3 years now. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love it.
It really shows you where tech is going, and engineering. Oh, my goodness. They've done a good job. I can't wait to see what happens with these other satellites that are moving out to planets farther away. So I want to take a moment to talk about the way we deliver programming here at KUSP. If you're in your car right now or listening to the radio, of course you know this, you can get it over the air, you can listen to us. But you can also get it online. KUSP offers podcasts, and you can go to npr.org to get these podcasts. Yes, you can go to npr.org to get GeekSpeak content.
How about that?
We are now there. Not only GeekSpeak, but you can get Ask Dr. Don's shows, Life on the Planet, Life in the Fast Lane, and Live at Lunch selections, all at npr.org. KUSP is really moving up, and it's because of people like you calling in and pledging and giving us your support to keep us on the air. And, of course, podcasts allow you to listen anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. You can even put those podcasts on a portable device and take them with you.
And it doesn't have to be an iPod.
It doesn't have to be an iPod. It can be, any portable device. Yeah,
indeed. And let me tell you, we work hard to get those podcasts online. You don't even know. pledging is really an easy thing to do. We do want to thank Sally in Royal Oaks, Patricia in Watsonville, and yes, River in Brookdale. They have all pledged their support to KUSP, to GeekSpeak this morning, because they really do care about public media here on the Central Coast of California. We still have a matching grant in effect from Center Stage Software, $480, matched dollar for dollar. That is coming along. We have $210 to meet our goal for GeekSpeak this morning. Just a few more minutes to do it, but the great thing is we know that we can do it. It's super easy. You can give us a call here at 1-888-777-1507. You can also go to our website, kusp.org. If you're listening to GeekSpeak, you might be a web person. It's super easy to do. And we are going to make this goal of $210 in the next 5 minutes here. So thanks for your call, folks.
Think of your listening to KUSP as a lifetime of education. And you are learning when you listen to KUSP. You listen because it engages you and stimulates new ways of thinking. But you also receive lessons in civics, science, culture, technology, and some of the best access to minds in this country. I know on GeekSpeak we've had a lot of authors in here talking about their books. You just don't see tech authors anywhere else. You really don't. We're going to take more advantage of that moving forward. And not only do you listen to us, you get a chance to discuss, debate, ask your questions, and you get answers to those questions. We're here to help you. And if you value this, please, if you listen to KUSP, you believe in public radio, and it is essential, take this opportunity and keep it free and strong. Please call and become a financial supporter right now. Become a member of KUSP. And then you're really part of KUSP. Call us now or make a pledge online at our secure website.
And I do want to say this. We're looking for a pledge of $240 this morning. And one great reason to do that is that you yourself would help us meet this goal of $210 for GeekSpeak. If you can call in with this $240 field bag, A, you're supporting GeekSpeak and KUSP. B, you're helping us meet our goal. And C, we have these great KUSP field bags. If you have like a little MacBook or something, a smaller laptop that will fit in this field bag, that's just $20 a month to support public media here on the Central Coast of California.
You know, my wife Maggie, who used to be here at the station, used to produce a lot of shows. She knows a lot of you members out there. You know, she said something that really stuck with me. Listeners are essentially producing public radio. That's very important. You calling in, giving your donation, makes you a producer of GeekSpeak. And that's very important to us.
And you are the public in public radio. So give us a call at 1-888-777-1507. Again, 1-888-777-1507. There's always our website, kusp.org. Give us a pledge. Help keep public radio strong and healthy here at KUSP. We really, really do value and appreciate your support this morning.
So I want to take a moment and just say that GeekSpeak is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. How much time do we have, Josh?
We're looking at about 2.5 minutes here, Sean.
Pick up the phone.
Yeah, actually what I wanted to bring up was we've been talking this hour about things like the RIAA and there's also, I've had my own personal issues with AT&T in the past and things like that. And I just wanted to have people think about these companies that that they give money to whenever they're paying their phone bill. How much you're paying per year to fund companies that are doing some of these things that you may not like, that are violating your privacy. And I want you to compare that number to the amount that you've given to organizations that you actually contribute to, that you actually believe in. Organizations like, for example, KUSP, you know, the station you're listening to now. How much do we matter to you as compared to the folks that you don't like?
Huh, interesting. Yes.
That's a really, really good point, Miles. You can give money to help support public radio, and it could be probably much less than you spend on your internet, on your phone bill, on all kinds of things this year. And it looks like if we make about $90 more, we will hit our goal. We have 1 minute left, folks, to hit our goal for GeekSpeak this hour. We're here until 11 o'clock, then Castle Cottage. We've been here all morning volunteering our time, the geeks, to bring you this program. And KUSP is made up of a host of volunteers, volunteer producers, volunteer programmers. We make this possible. Give us a call, 888-777-1507 or kusp.org. We can make this goal this morning.
Just $90 left, just a couple of minutes.
$90,
you
folks.
Can do it.
I think just a minute left.
Less than a minute, 35 seconds or so.
So I just want to take this moment to thank everyone here. In the air room with us is Miles Elam and Drew Meyer and Josh Weiss. And on the air, we have Dee Dee Hubbard and Alex Slias. Thanks, geeks, for making GeekSpeak what it is and for being here today.
Great to be here.
Thank you, Sean.
And thank you all for listening to GeekSpeak. To those of you who called in and to pledge, thank you for making GeekSpeak what it is. Without you, it'd just be us geeking out, and who wants to listen to that?